Only Eurylochus stayed behind. He sensed a trap. She ushered them in to sit on high-backed chairs. Then she mixed them a potion, cheese, barley, and pale honey mulled in Pramnian wine. But into the brew she stirred her wicked drugs, to wipe from their memories any thought of home. Once they drained the bowl she filled, suddenly she struck with her wand, drove them into her pigsties, all of them bristling into swine, with grunts, snouts, even their bodies, yes, and only the men's minds stayed steadfast as before. So off they went to their pens, sobbing, squealing, as Circe flung them acorns, cornel nuts and mast, common fodder for hogs that root and roll in mud. Back Eurylochus ran to our swift black ship to tell the disaster our poor friends had faced, but try as he might, he couldn't get a word out. Numbing sorrow had stunned the man to silence. Tears welled in his eyes, his heart possessed by grief. We assailed him with questions, all at our wit's end, till at last he could recount the fate our friends had met. Off we went through the brush, Captain, as you commanded. Deep in the wooded glens we came on Circe's palace, built of dressed stone on a cleared rise of land. Someone inside was plying a great loom, and how she sang in a high, clear voice. Goddess or woman, we called out and hailed her. She opened her gleaming doors at once and stepped forth, inviting us all in, and in we went, all innocence. But I stayed behind. I sensed a trap. Suddenly, all vanished. Blotted out, not one face showed again, though I sat there keeping watch a good long time. At that report I slung the hefty bronze blade of my silver-studded sword around my shoulder, slung my bow on too, and told our comrade, "Lead me back by the same way that you came." But he flung both arms around my knees and pleaded, begging me with his tears and winging words, "Don't force me back there, Captain, King, leave me here on the spot. You will never return yourself, I swear. You'll never bring back a single man alive. Quick, cut and run with the rest of us here. We can still escape the fatal day." But I shot back, "Eurylochus, stay right here, eating, drinking, safe by the black ship. I must be off. Necessity drives me on." Leaving the ship and shore, I headed inland, clambering up through hushed, entrancing glades until, as I was nearing the halls of Circe, skilled in spells, approaching her palace, Hermes, god of the golden wand, crossed my path, and he looked for all the world like a young man sporting his first beard, just in the prime and warm pride of youth, and grasped me by the hand and asked me kindly, "Where are you going now, my unlucky friend? Trekking over the hills alone in unfamiliar country. And your men are all in there, in Circe's palace, cooped like swine, hocked by jowl in the sties. If you come to set them free, well, I warn you, you won't get home yourself. You'll stay right there, trapped with all the rest. But wait, I can save you, free you from that great danger. Look, here is a potent drug. Take it to Circe's halls. Its power alone will shield you from the fatal day. Let me tell you of all the witch's subtle craft. She'll mix you a potion, lace the brew with drugs, but she'll be powerless to bewitch you. Even so, this magic herb I give will fight her spells. Now here's your plan of action, step by step. The moment Circe strikes with her long, thin wand, you draw your sharp sword, sheathed at your hip, and rush her fast as if to run her through. She'll cower in fear and coax you to her bed. But don't refuse the goddess's bed, not then, not if she's to release your friends and treat you well yourself. But have her swear the binding oath of the blessed gods, she'll never plot some new intrigue to harm you, once you lie there naked. Never un-